May it please the court, my name is John Lyden. I represent the Illinois Association of Mortgage Brokers in this matter. We appeal from the order of Judge Norville of the Northern District of Illinois dismissing the plaintiff's complaint. The plaintiff filed a complaint seeking declaratory judgment that the new rules promulgated by the Illinois Office of Banks and Real Estate regarding high-risk home loans were preempted and unenforceable under the Federal Parity Act, the Alternative Mortgage Transaction Parity Act of 1982. To the extent that the regulations apply to alternative mortgage transactions. Judge Norville dismissed the complaint, finding that HOPA, the Home Ownership Equity Protection Act, repealed the Parity Act by implication because HOPA was the more recent and specific statute and that HOPA did not preempt the OBRE regulations. As the court will undoubtedly recall, in the late 1970s and early 1980s, the United States was plunged in an inflation and interest rate crisis. That crisis brought mortgage lending to a virtual standstill. The Federal Home Loan Bank Board and subsequently the Congress determined that alternative mortgages were essential to providing an adequate supply of credit for mortgage lending to jumpstart the mortgage industry. The Alternative Mortgage Transaction Parity Act provided that all housing creditors have general authority to make alternative mortgages notwithstanding state law. That is to say, it preempted state law relating to alternative mortgages. Granting such authority to state lenders allowed them to make the same alternative mortgage loans which their federally chartered competitors could make under the rules of the Federal Home Loan Bank Board. Congress did further provide in the Parity Act that states could opt out. In other words, it could maintain, or those states that opted out could maintain their own regulations with respect to alternative mortgages. Illinois did not opt out, did not exercise that option to maintain and enforce its own regulations with respect to alternative mortgages. However, in 2001, the OBRE, the Illinois Office of Banks and Real Estate, enacted regulations that restrict alternative mortgages, capped prepayment penalties, prohibited certain high rate loans, prohibited balloon payment notes on high risk home loans before 15 years, capped points and fees for high risk loans at 6 points, and prohibited negative amortization on high risk loans. My argument this morning will address three principal points. First, the Parity Act's regulatory history, its legislative intent, and its clear language provide broad preemption of state law with respect to alternative mortgage transactions. Second, HOPA did not repeal the Parity Act. And finally, the Parity Act and HOPA must be read together to give effect to the Parity Act's purpose. No, Mr. Darr is a defendant in the case. He's represented by, he is an appellee in the case. That's right. The Parity Act's regulatory history, my first argument, the Parity Act's regulatory history, its legislative intent, and its clear language provide for broad preemption. The regulatory history, as I alluded to earlier, was a result of the interest rate and inflation crisis in the United States and the need to jumpstart lending. The Federal Home Loan Bank Board certainly acknowledged that and decided in its authority to regulate federal lenders, federal housing lenders, that alternative mortgages were a valuable and valid way to provide and ease the availability of credit for people purchasing homes. In so doing, the Federal Home Loan Bank Board enacted certain resolutions allowing those federal lenders to make alternative mortgages, graduated payment mortgages, reverse annuity mortgages, variable rate mortgages, renegotiable mortgages, graduated payment adjustable rate mortgages. And further, the Federal Home Loan Bank Board's regulations. Okay, let's jump right to HOPA. Judge Norgel has suggested that HOPA repeals the Parity Act. The Parity Act and HOPA relate to two different purposes. The Parity Act is for the purpose of eliminating the discriminatory impact on state housing creditors so that it will increase the amount of credit available for the lending of available for housing lending, as opposed to HOPA, which simply is a statute which attempts to address.
Your basic position is that HOPA applies to all banks, and what the Parity Act does is to say state banks can do whatever federal banks can do. And there's nothing in the 1994 Act contradicting that rule.
That's right.
Let's assume that's right. What follows from that? What is it that the state regulations have put off limits to state banks, state chartered banks, that federally chartered banks can do?
Specifically, the OBRE regulations are different from HOPA. They lower the triggers, so to speak.
I understand that. I'm asking for you to be concrete. It's not just HOPA that specifies what federal chartered institutions can do. It's also all the regulations issued by the Office of Thrift Supervision. My question is, what is it that under the state regulations, state banks are prohibited from doing, that under the federal regulations, the OTS regulations, federal institutions are allowed to do?
For instance, my recollection of the OTS regulations with respect to, just taking for one example, balloon payments, say that there can't be a balloon payment within the first 5 years of the mortgage. The OBRE rule, the new OBRE rule, extends that out not to 5, but to 15. So that results in a state chartered.
Is this 5-year rule one of the things for which OTS has declared
I believe so. I don't recall exactly.
I've looked at some of these OTS rules, but they all seem to be written backwards. Some things that are declared to be inapplicable federal rules, and which therefore OTS says have preemptive effect. And it's kind of up on how this plays in. That's why I was hoping that you could help me out.
I think one of the things that is important to focus on here is that what these OBRE rules have done has changed the regulatory playing field. We now have two different playing fields, two different types of loans that state and federal lenders can make. And that, I think, is the crux of the prohibition and the preemption in the Parity Act. Judge Norgel's decision that HOPA repealed the Parity Act, I think, is flawed because it does not take into account the difference in the purposes. That is to say, HOPA, which applies, as the court rightly suggests, it applies to all banks, all housing creditors, not just banks in the traditional sense, but all housing creditors, whether they be state chartered or federal chartered. And
let me ask you one other concrete question about the federal regulation. The OTS put out for comment a new set of regulations in April. What's the current status of that proposal, of that package?
My recollection is that the OTS has not enacted those. They received comment under the administrative procedures, but I don't believe that those. One would think so, but I'm not aware of it. The last time I looked at it.
I suppose one should never be surprised by the delay.
Certainly not. Another important issue to argument to consider in with respect to the finding that HOPA repealed the Parity Act was the is the legislative history of the Parity Act. I'm sorry, of HOPA. HOPA was introduced as H.R. 3153 by Representative Kennedy in 1993. And that bill, as originally introduced, contained an explicit repeal of the Parity Act preemption. Later, Representative Kennedy, in a legislative compromise, removed that provision, and the.
I guess I'm not very good at keeping my promise. One more concrete question. The April OTS package suggested Congress enact a new law giving states another opportunity to opt out of the Parity Act preemption. The April package assumes that the Parity Act is still in force.
Indeed.
Has anything happened in response to OTS's recommendation that a new opportunity to opt out be enacted? Do you know whether there's legislation pending or anything else?
I don't know. I don't know if there is such legislation pending. As the court finally properly points out, the OTS has proposed this 2000 rulemaking, which, in no uncertain terms, states that it believes, at least as the principal regulator of federal savings banks, that the Parity Act has not been repealed by HOPA. What this essentially is in reading these two statutes, the Parity Act and HOPA, is a matter of statutory construction. And basic rule of statutory construction is that absent clear intent to repeal, conflicting statutes must be read together to give each other effect. In this case, I think it is certainly possible, and this court must read the Parity Act and HOPA together to mean that state laws regarding high-cost alternative mortgages are preempted under the Parity Act when they prohibit state-chartered lenders from doing what their federally chartered lenders can do. Finally, just to talk about the legislative intent of the Parity Act, as I referred to earlier. The explicit language of the Parity Act provides for preemption of contrary state law in the Parity Act itself. Alternative mortgages may be made by housing creditor notwithstanding state law. This is a broad preemption, a field preemption, and it has been upheld in the FACE and SHINE cases. I would reserve some of my time for rebuttal, and I'd ask the court to reverse the dismissal of the plaintiff's complaint, remand the case for further proceedings.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is David Ellis. I will be taking 14 of the 20 minutes to discuss the interaction of HOPA and the Parity Act. Mr. Henriquez will take the remainder of the time discussing the application of the clear statement rule. HOPA contains protections against loan terms found in high-cost home equity loans and refinances. HOPA welcomes, and in fact, absolutely, Judge, and I'll do that right now. We are not aware of any action OTS has taken yet. We would have expected that they would have done so by now, but we're not aware of it. The comment period, I believe, is closed. As for legislation, I don't have an answer for that, Your Honor. HOPA invites corresponding and more protective state regulation. The OBRE rules, which are a modest extension of HOPA, are not inconsistent with HOPA and are therefore not preempted by HOPA. The plaintiff concedes that HOPA, as the more specific and recent statute, controls over the Parity Act for loans that fall within the scope of HOPA.
Here's my question. Maybe. What is it about HOPA that expresses the conclusion that state and federally chartered institutions now may be treated differently? That's the big question. That was the thing the Parity Act does, is that state and federal institutions can make loans on the same terms. HOPA changes the list of allowable terms for everybody.
Yes.
But what is it about HOPA that says that from 1994 forward, state and federal institutions can be regulated differently from one another?
Section 1610B of HOPA, Your Honor, that is the section that deals with what I would call the non-preemption clause. HOPA makes clear in Section 1610B that the states can broaden the scope of HOPA and that they can impose more consumer protective regulations. Congress was not remotely concerned in 1994 with the concept of parity. Congress made clear that the states could do more if they were so inclined. Congress was concerned with jump-starting a movement against predatory lending and in no means attempted to limit the states in their attempts to do so as well. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
15 U.S.C. 1610B.
That's correct, Your Honor. I apologize. 15 U.S.C. 1610B. HOPA does not preempt the OBRE rules in this case. HOPA only preempts state law to the extent of an inconsistency. Here, the OBRE rules provide, in some instances, that's correct, Your Honor.
But that leaves the question whether the Parity Act does something to state law.
It does, Your Honor.
There are thousands of statutes that don't preempt state laws, but that doesn't mean we should ignore the ones that
yes, Your Honor, and we've never intended to suggest that the Parity Act was completely repealed by HOPA. Our point is that with regard to loan terms that fall within the scope of HOPA, HOPA controls over the Parity Act, and the plaintiff concedes that. With respect to loans...
I don't understand what that means.
Okay, Judge. HOPA has certain thresholds, interest rate triggers, points and fees triggers. That's correct.
Then I don't understand what it means to say that HOPA prevails over the Parity Act. That's a form of parity, right? Neither state nor federal institutions can make loan acts. They're being treated exactly identical. In order to prevail over the Parity Act, what you've got to show me is the decision in HOPA that one can treat the two differently. That's the key to
Your Honor, but let me give this example. If we take an example of a loan that would fall within HOPA's triggers and within the OBRE rules, and it contained a prepayment penalty, the plaintiff would submit that the prepayment penalty is barred by the Parity Act. But in fact, HOPA, which is the more recent and specific statute, HOPA would allow the states to outlaw that prepayment penalty. That's the tension that we're speaking of. That is where there is a conflict. Certainly, if we're talking about loans that...
What language is it in HOPA that allows the states to do things? We're back to some clause D, but as I say, at least a natural language reading, all it says is HOPA doesn't preempt anything. It doesn't say, and no other statute does either. That's the critical...
Correct, Your Honor. Correct, Your Honor, and we accept that. We do not intend to suggest that to the extent that a loan is not governed by HOPA, that the Parity Act couldn't conceivably have some application. It would outside of the realm of HOPA. For loans that fall within HOPA, even if the state regulations are more protective, they are not preempted because they are not inconsistent. To the extent that a loan falls is a non-HOPA loan, it's a purchase money mortgage, or it's a loan that does not meet HOPA's triggers, then conceivably the Parity Act would apply. The Parity Act's application to this case is quite limited because the preemption provided in the Parity Act is quite limited. The Parity Act provides the universe of all potential alternative terms in mortgages, but then delegates to the relevant administrative agency the authority to identify which of those loan provisions are applicable and appropriate. In this case, with relevant to our purposes, the OTS has identified only three loan provisions that are applicable and appropriate for state chartered housing creditors, two of which they are considering removing. But whether they do or not, that Parity Act regulation set up by OTS is the universe of all conceivable preemption in this case. The plaintiffs talk about field preemption. The plaintiffs in their reply brief say, said what I see as a new test. Currently, we are looking at adjustable rate mortgages, prepayment penalties, and late fees. Those are the three loan provisions that the OTS has identified as applicable and appropriate. That is the only conceivable set of things that could be preempted. Judge, you're right. There are certain...
What is the difference between the federal and state regulations with respect to, say, late fees?
The OBRE rules do not speak to late fees. The OBRE rules do not speak to adjustable rate mortgages. The only place in which there is a conceivable tension is in prepayment penalties. Prepayment penalties have very little restriction in the federal regulations. They do face restriction in the OBRE rules, and I could detail that if you'd like. That is my understanding. What I was obviously more attracted to in the 2002 publication was the fact that they were planning on removing prepayment, or they're discussing whether to remove prepayment penalties. And Judge, I think that's an interesting point, that what is the effect of the
OBRE? It's possible that this entire litigation is just a tempest in a teapot, that we actually come down and see what the difference is between things prohibited by the state and within the preemptive scope of the OTS regulations. There isn't all that much in the set.
That's absolutely right, Your Honor. Two of the three current regs don't even govern, aren't even addressed, I should say, in the OBRE rules. And the third one, prepayment penalties, might not very soon. If I could use the example of the 2002 publication for the additional point, that it demonstrates the flaw in the plaintiff's argument that there's field preemption. The plaintiff's argument, which suggests that if a state law doesn't apply to a federal lender, it wouldn't apply to a state lender either, that would completely run contrary to Congress's scheme in delegating to the administrative agency the authority to pick which of the federal regulations are applicable and appropriate. All of these things that the OTS has done in 1983, in 1986, and again in 2002, or what they're considering doing in 2002, which is to shuffle around which of the regulations are applicable and appropriate, none of that would mean anything if the plaintiffs are correct. If all you had to do was ask the question whether a state law applies to a federal lender, and if not, it doesn't apply to a state lender, then what is the OTS doing? It doesn't make sense. Plaintiffs' interpretation does not make sense. It runs contrary to congressional intent. If there are no other questions, Your Honors, we respectfully request that this court affirm the judgment below.
May it please the court, I too am unaware of any developments with respect to the proposed OTS rulemaking. The federal law that governs this case is extremely confusing. Significantly, that confusion by itself supplies a ground for decision of this case. That ground is the clear statement rule. Even the plaintiffs do not deny that both the Parity Act and the HOPA are subject to the clear statement rule. And any statute, any federal statute that is subject to the clear statement rule preempts state law only if it contains a clear statement saying that it does.
Of course, to be clear, what's in Section 3803C, an alternative mortgage transaction may be made by a housing creditor in accordance with this section, notwithstanding any state constitution, law, or regulation.
Well, it borrows three requirements. It specifies that you have to have a housing creditor within the meaning of the Act. It also says that the regulations must be an alternative mortgage transaction, and more specifically, it says that the regulations must be made in accordance with regulations promulgated by the OTC. In our view, the words "in accordance with" are ambiguous, and they're tracked in the regulations, and they've resulted in significant confusion even at the OTS level. Over time, OTS has gone back and forth about it interpreting its own regulations. Sometimes it interprets those regulations to say that the only regulations that... Well, I think there's a significant question about what happens when a statute is unclear and whether or not it can ever preempt. But we have an additional problem here, and that is the statute delegates to... Well, we're not saying that the agency's law is changing over time, although it has. What we're saying,
the statute remains the same, it's just the interpretation changes.
Well, the statute
delegates. The court decides cases 5 and 4 about what is the right interpretation, so it's unclear. And that seems to be what you're saying, that even
Well, there's also ambiguity in the statute. As we point out in our brief, the definition of housing creditor is itself ambiguous. The definition of housing creditor requires that a housing creditor be licensed under applicable state law, and also requires that the housing creditor maintain, be subject to state regulatory requirements. And of course, the OTS regulations in this case are state regulatory requirements. The words "in accordance with" that is set forth twice in the Parity Act, I think 3803 B and C, is in our view ambiguous, and has resulted in the agency not just in the agency interpreting its own regulations in different ways. Sometimes the agency says that the four terms that are addressed in its regulations are the only terms as to which state law can be preempted. Other times, the agency has said that as long as a given transaction complies with the four terms, any type of provision of state law of any kind, even if it doesn't pertain to those four types of regulations, is preempted. In fact, just 2 years ago, the agency promulgated issued a notice of proposed rulemaking in which it acknowledged that its own regulations are ambiguous, and specifically
words are ambiguous, and especially really long sets of words are ambiguous. If one takes seriously the argument you're making, it is that no legal text ever preempts state law because there's always ambiguous stuff in the federal rule.
Well, ambiguity that results in an agency's uncertainty as to how to enforce its own regulations is of a different order than the ordinary kinds of ambiguities that... Well, I'm not familiar with the federal labor law, and I don't know the extent to which the labor board's regulations themselves are so ambiguous that
result. Just have common law decision makers. Their decisions are as clear as clear can be. They're decisions that the state court of Illinois makes.
The case law of the U.S. Supreme Court, in our views, specifies that an agency's agency's regulations must not be ambiguous and are subject to the clear statement rule, and that if they don't comply with the clear statement rule, then there's no preemption for purposes of federalism.
Very briefly, I just want to make two quick points. As the court asked and points out to Mr. Ellis, there is nothing in the Parity Act. I'm sorry, there is nothing within HOPA which specifically repeals the Parity Act, and so that means that the Parity Act survived, HOPA survived. They have to be read together. When read together, they mean that both federal and state chartered lenders have to comply with the provisions of HOPA. Where state laws or regulations differentiate or cause state chartered housing creditors and federally chartered housing creditors to be treated differently, that those laws are preempted under the Parity Act. Second, there is a clear statement. In fact, there are a number of expressions of clear expressions of preemption in the Parity Act. The Parity Act provision itself that Judge Easterbrook referred to. Also, there's a statement of preemption, of clear statement of the intent to preempt state law by giving the states the opportunity to opt out. The city of Chicago, the amicus city of Chicago, attempts to manufacture an ambiguity by using a circular argument with respect to the housing, the definition of a housing creditor. The housing creditor is only a housing creditor if it abides by state law. I think that that is unnecessarily confusing and shouldn't be used as a basis to...
Circular.
Well, and they shouldn't be used as a means to thwart the obvious and clear intent of Congress to put state federal, I'm sorry, to put state chartered housing creditors and federal chartered housing creditors on the same regulatory playing field. Thank you.